than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. 97%. That was the odds for the Ravens to make it to the playoffs. 97% chance. And all they had to do was go through the Cincinnati Bengals, who they blanked earlier that year. And unfortunately, 2017 came to an end on New Year's Eve, and there is no football for the Ravens. For how many months? 9 months into 2018. Here we are. Joining me as always, talk us all through it. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I will try my best to make light of this whole huge mess, but I'm glad you let in with those numbers because a guy behind me at the stadium yelled the most perfect statement. I'm happy you let in that. When they scored, obviously we all know the outcome. If not, you're hiding under a rock. But for all those, you know, obviously recap this painful experience. As soon as that touchdown happened, the guy behind me slammed his chair and said, I mean, he said a few choice words in there, but I'll leave them out. But he said in a paraphrasing, he said, this team has 97% chance and we take the 3%. And he was flipping out. And it was epic rant and I wish I'd have got on video. I was just too busy like processing what happened. But yeah. We took the 3%, and that's where it got us. Oh, yeah. My God.
I did not think that our last show of this season was going to be the first show of 2018. I honestly, you know, listened to our show from last week. I thought the Ravens were going to make it into the postseason. I thought they were going to beat the Bengals. I didn't think it was going to be easy. You know, we saw what they did up against Indy. You've talked about the Ravens playing down to their opponents. And I knew it was going to be a nail biter. I didn't think it would be like this, though.
Dude, no one did, especially after you blanked them. But and some of the players said all week, you know, the shutout earlier this year was an eon ago. Both teams were different teams, and you can't take an opponent lately. Granted, I mean, you're not going to shut out an opponent two times in a year. You know, the same team, just not going to happen. But for Ravens to come out strong in week one, do that in their house, and then for them to just go take the opening drive right down the score, it was just a nightmare. I think I texted that same phrase to everybody. I said, please wake me up. I'm dreaming. I have to go. I want to pick your brain because obviously I was there, so I have the full experience live as it happened. But, you know, where did you end up watching it? Who were you with? What was your guys' reaction? You know, were you guys like, you know, obviously devastated? Were you like, ho-hum, okay, whatever? Or what was the reactions and where did you partake in watching?
Well, I was in Ocean City for New Year's.
Again?
Yes. Yeah.
You're always down there. Just move. You're about to.
I have a home there. There's no work for me down there.
You need a job.
But I enjoy Ocean City a lot, especially in the off season. I went to the Abbey Burger Bistro on 128th Street. They were not prepared for the Ravens switching times because, yes, they showed the Ravens, but they very much had a party ready to start at 8 o'clock for New Year's Eve. So it was very much a mixed mash of people. Like, people were showing up at 7:30 for the party and being like, oh, the Ravens are on? Like, they weren't fans. And then they were coming up to me saying, wait, I thought the Ravens had to win this game, or I thought the Bengals weren't that good, or
they're trying to make sense by their weight. Yeah.
Well, but they're trying to make sense of,
and they're probably all in their get ups and
oh yeah, there were nice suits and ties, and the ladies had on like nice sparkly dresses and high heels and stuff like that. And
I gotta watch the game with you, man. You got people dressed to the nines. Where are you at?
But like everyone was like, wait, I thought,
and they're probably warmer.
Yeah. Oh, man. And we were sitting by the door because they had a patio that they put like a tarp up, and they had some heaters because at 128th Street, Northside Park does fireworks at midnight. So these guys literally, it's their
fireworks
building.
Didn't freeze?
Their building. No. And then the park. So like it is the perfect place to watch the fireworks on New Year's Eve. But like they're setting it up outside. So they're coming in and out. But everybody like was just screaming at the seam at the beginning of the game because the Ravens didn't come out all guns a-blazing. Like we said, they took a very long time to get started, and the Ravens were behind for so long.
You noticed that this year, the story is if the Ravens with these winnable games that they've had, you know, first game that comes to mind is the Bears game at home way back when. It was like you start out slow. And it was like that with the Tennessee game. You start out slow, then you try to muster it up, and then it's not enough. I'm like, can you just start out fast? And then the games they start out fast in, call Oakland, call it the first game in Cincinnati. All these games, they got out front. And yeah, granted, the only other game that sticks out was the Pittsburgh game where we put ourselves in a 14-0 hole. Granted, the team came all the way back and led by 11 and then eventually lost. But that I feel like when they start out fast, and that's any team, but you got to start out fast. You want to be successful. And they weren't.
No, and the Ravens, but it's crazy how this is all flip-flop, because beginning of the season, it was how great our defense is. Oh, my God, the defense is unbeatable. This is the 2000 Super Bowl defense all over again. And then here we are talking about the end of the season where offenses had to come back, dig themselves out of a hole, and actually get, you know, a good amount of points to lead. And then once again, it's the defense on the field that kind of loses the game at the end of – I mean, it shouldn't have been that close anyway.
So, you're right. It should not have been close.
But it's the defense allowing the opponent to march down the field, get a couple penalties, giving them free downs, free four chances again to make a play. And, of course, they're going to take – take charge of that, and that's what we saw. I mean, this was Christmas Eve last year all over again.
It was, man. It reminds you of everything. And I was like, I think Ryan Mings of the Ravens .com fame said that. He's like, you know, I think it was him. It was one of the Raiders that said, boy, the Ravens got to stop letting us down on these holiday heartbreakers, man. It's like, you know, last year it was me and you in the Christmas night game. And I don't want to really pick apart which is worse. I think – this past weekend was worse, and I'm not saying that because I was in person on a home game, but it was like you had one play, less than a minute, your season come down this, and here's the thing, and I heard this on the radio when I took a restroom break at the stadium. Jerry Sandusky said this on the radio feed as I was walking the concourse. He's like, because I think this is right when the Bills already had their game in hand, the Titans already were either won or about to win, so our help was gone. So it was Ravens win or not. So it wasn't like, okay, if we lose, we were scoreboard watching, obviously, and the Titans end up winning and Bills. But Jerry Sandusky said the Ravens went from, you know, a win to get into, a loss you can still get into, now you lose, you're out, and you win, you're in. So it was like kind of like do or die, and it's like I felt like maybe the Ravens didn't know that. I don't know if they were scoring. I don't know what how that works out on the sidelines. Like, hey, like if someone goes, hey, guys, we can't lose this game and get in now, so we have to win. I don't know if anybody even tells them that. I'm sure they do. But I felt like I would like your vantage point in watching it on TV versus in person, because I can only see so much. Obviously, TV gives you different vantage points and pros and cons. But did you see the team have any like oomph or fire at all?
Not as a team as a whole. There were certain players that I saw who would have a little bit of fire. Matt Judon, I mean, after he made that, I mean, just absolutely fantastic tackle. It was his sack on the quarterback. He came over to the sidelines and was jawing with the crowd and getting into it. He was fired up. So Matt Judon definitely is a guy you saw there. Joe is Joe. You're not going to see a lot of emotion come out of Joe on a game day. He's focused. He's in control. And that's for the offense. That's pretty much it. The only person that you really kind of pay attention to, which I want to ask you about this. Let's look at the wide receivers. Jeremy Maclin, inactive, unable to play. Rashad Perryman, a healthy scratch. Mike Wallace out there. Chris Moore, who we lost halfway through the game due to concussion protocol. And then you have Quincy Iambadejo. You have Michael Campanaro, who got taken out by a friggin' sandbag on the sidelines. More about that later. We'll definitely talk about him, because I know you didn't get to see any of the stuff with him on the sidelines. That was just insane how that happened, but we'll talk about him. But look at what Joe had to work with on the offense. He had Chris Moore, fourth round draft pick, who looked good but lost him halfway through the game. You have Mike Wallace, who is a known veteran, doing really well, but him and Joe never really seemed to be on the same page. And you have Quincy Iambadejo, or not Iambadejo, it's that's not his name.
Adebuoyo.
Iambadejo was a guy from the Super Bowl year. I'm a dummy.
You're close.
Adebuoyo, yeah.
Attaboy, Brandon.
Attaboyjo. Yeah, so, I mean, you have him, who was an undrafted rookie, was on the practice squad up until last Monday. What do you make of this offense here? Because wide receiver was a position we were all worried about last offseason. They went completely defense on this draft. They got Macklin in, who is known for being a little injury prone, and he was. What do we do here? Because that definitely had to be a factor on this last game against the Bengals, because there's a reason why that score was so close.
Man.
These wide receivers, Joe was throwing these perfect passes, and they were in the fingertips, and none of these guys could catch the ball.
No, man, and that's what sucks. It's a lack of playmakers, and, I mean, you see, you know, we're not asking. I mean, yeah, it would be nice, and I'm not saying it never will happen, but, you know, long are we – like just yearning for a Antonio Brown, a Calvin Johnson, a Julio Jones, you know, all these big time receivers that came through the ranks and are still playing that just make plays. Like, hey, just throw it up, and it's just like it sucks because you don't have those receivers. I feel like, you know, Mike Wallace had a lot of suspect drops in this game. He came through towards the end, and I felt like Mike Wallace is the only option. You know, the tight ends. You know, Ben Watson has got hands, but he's not fast. I feel like Nick Boyle's fast but don't have the hands. You know, there's a lot of mix and match. It's almost like, you know, if we can just mix players together, we can create the perfect prototypes. But it's just too far in between, man. It's got to stop. I mean, you look at the offense. I mean, Perryman better be off the team. He's trash. You know, Macklin had promise earlier this year, but just I feel like he's not been worth the signing right now. I'm sorry. He just hasn't. You know, if people argue me on that one, please do, because I like to see your two cents, because he hasn't produced since it just feels like he hasn't scored a touchdown in Lord knows how long. Hasn't been relevant. You know, I feel like a Bolden made more impact than a Macklin. You know, Bolden was, you know, getting those 100 yards, maybe a touchdown there. We need that automatic receiver who can get you 6 to 8 catches a game, 120 yards, and a touchdown guaranteed, like every time. Like, he steps on the field, you know you're getting that. You know, it's just like the old adage with Brown. You know what you're getting with Antonio Brown. It's like when certain players step on a field, you know they're going to get this and that from them. And it's like, okay, well, it's like the same thing in basketball. The greats, Michael Jordan, you know, Kobe, LeBron, all those greats. You know, when they step on the basketball court, you already know, okay, they're averaging this, this, and this a game. You know you're getting that on the floor. It's the same thing with football. If Flacco's averaging, you know, I'm just throwing a stat out there. I'm not saying he is, but just say if Joe was playing at the caliber where he was averaging 350 yards and three and a half to four touchdowns a game or whatever, you knew you were getting that out of Joe. But there's games he has three, there's games he has one, there's games he has none. You know, we win, lose, or draw. So, you know, I feel like it's a mixed bag on the offense. A lot of things need to change up and down, and it's just, I don't know. But it doesn't make me feel comfortable that Joe's already endorsing Marty Morningwig as an offensive coordinator next year. I know the fans, including me, are up in arms about that, but, you know, Joe knows the team and Joe knows the coaches, so they work together. So if Joe's endorsing him, I'm not going to sit by and be naive and go, okay, well, I got to trust it. But these guys, you know, they play the game. We don't. What do we know? But I just feel like we need a new scheme, and unless Marty changes something or if we get playmakers to input it, it's just going to be the same broken record next year, dude.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's the definition of insanity? The Ravens. That's yes. What. That's what you need. You look it up in the dictionary.
Wasn't Poe insane? or no, it wasn't. I wouldn't say that because I don't know background all that. But wasn't he perceived as to be insane?
He was perceived as
general public
being kooky. I mean, I bet you a bunch of them thinks that he's insane. But the guy in the Raven poem, yeah, he was definitely a little crazy. But that's what, you know, the definition of insanity. If you Google it, a picture of the Ravens is going to pop up because that's what it is. Who were some of the head coaches that got fired this week that you think potentially might be able to come in, be an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator? Because we know Dean Pease is retiring. So is there anybody out there you think could or would want to come back?
Yeah, man, there's a few names that are out there, but a lot of them are linked to other jobs, and I don't know, but Jack Del Rio just got let go in Oakland, who used to be on our coaching staff years back, man, and used to be defensive coordinator. Jack Del Rio, everybody's like, give that guy a call, and I am excited to say this, Bam, but the reason why he's let go in Oakland, because a familiar face is on back on the sideline at Oakland. Did you hear the news this weekend? Chucky is back, man. John Gruden. Yes, I don't know if you heard that. John Gruden is stepping out of the booth, and he's returning to coaching as the Raiders. It hasn't been technically made official by the team, but Adam Schefter did report it this week, and all sources will say he will be the new head coach of the Raiders. So John Gruden is back on the sideline this year. That's going to be fun to watch.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
What about like Jim Caldwell or Chuck Pagano or any of those guys?
I think Chuck has a good chance of maybe coming back. I know Gary Kubiak's already said he wants to return to coaching in 2018. His name has been linked to Rams, obviously, because he had that report of Flacco here. But there is multiple rumors, not technically reports, didn't see it, but there's rumors floating out there that Elway's already been in his ear. He might get a front office job, not really on the sidelines, but maybe like a personnel move kind of deal in Denver again. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But, you know, there are some head coaches that were safe, but the Bears just released, John Fox is their head coach. I know the Giants still looking for a head coach, I believe. I know they hired a GM, but no coach. They're looking for one. I think off the top of my head, I just know that, you know, it's the Colts are immediate out there, and I'm surprised that Marvin Lewis is still in Cincinnati is beyond me. But, you know,
I think he has us to thank for that.
I think that's what it is. And I don't know if you saw that, but speaking of thanking and all that, and I posted the reactions on the call Facebook base for a reason. Number one, to show that, hey, their celebration is at our expense, so they can send us thank you cards. But did you hear what the Bills fans were doing? They were donating money to Andy Dalton's charity because they beat us. They've already raised $22,000 when his charity – I don't know if you knew that, and it doesn't sound like you did by your laugh, but – I thought that was pretty comical, but I was like, hey, what about our charities? Because we tanked, so we need some money. So I'm like, don't just thank Andy Dalton. I mean, we blew the coverage. And how in any idea of the football schemes do you go man the rest of the way and then all of a sudden, oh, change it up on that one play and let Tyler Boyd, not A.J. Green, Tyler flipping Boyd get a touchdown like that? Like, it's just absurd, dude. But yeah, the Bills fans, Bills Mafia, I'm sure, is breaking tables up there. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's all roses and, no, man, I'm frustrated. A couple of friends of mine are still texting me like I'm still hurting. But, you know, seeing the Bills' reaction and the players and the fans, I'm kind of like – it's kind of like they have 101 shot to win it all, but it's like, hey – I almost want the Bills to win it all just to spite the Ravens, to make it sting a little bit more, going, hey, this was your guys' fault. But, you know, it is what it is, but it's, you know, to the agony goes to spoils. I mean, it's, you know, they always say the victory goes to spoils, but it's like, you know, there's agony in Baltimore and there's praise up and adulation up in Buffalo, but I feel like Buffalo does not deserve to be there, man. I mean, they backed in the playoffs, they lost their top running back. I don't know if he's even going to be out for the playoffs, but it's just an unfortunate situation how a crazy lapse and breakdown, and you can't even get up for a virtually home playoff game under the lights again in M&T Bank, and you barely almost beat the Colts. I, you know, at this point, they should have just lost to the Colts, but I did put it in perspective, and I don't know. I know a Browns fan personally. I know you know, but, you know, obviously they did raise the glass for the 0-16 squad, so they are the second winless team in NFL history, but I looked at a Browns fan today. He's from Cleveland, okay? Like, he's you know, born and bred. He's a Cleveland Browns fan, and I was like, you know, he was like, oh, tough loss, man. I'm glad they lost, blah, blah. I'm like, but I told him this way. To make it any better, The Browns have one win in 2 years. Just think about that. There are 16 games a year, 32 games in 2 years. The Browns are 1-31. Jeez. The Ravens won 9 games this year. So it makes, you know, come on, you know. Yeah, it sucks missing the playoffs. I'm not going to say it's all hunky-dory now because the Browns didn't win a game. You know, I'm in a good mood now. But just put it in perspective, the Browns didn't win a game this year. We won 9, should have won probably 11 of them. But it is what it is. But they were one win short of these playoffs. And, man, it's just frustrating because how many times, you're right, you know, definition of insanity. How many times are we going to sit here on the call and go up and down? Okay, and you're right. It's the issues that they tried to fix last year when Antonio Brown went down the field and caught that ball. They tried to bolster secondary, and then again, it was a long pass play that did them in again this year. So it's just kind of ironic, man.
I don't even know what to say anymore. Is it ironic? I don't know.
Funny. After a while, I started laughing. I was bitter, like giving my reaction in the stadium. I'll share my reaction, and I want to hear how your reaction was at, because it sounded like it was a crazy scene with people trying to come in because the game was probably nearing around 8 o'clock. But my scene, of course, sitting there and we're losing 14-3, I'm like, dude, this stadium's going to empty out at halftime. There's going to be no one in here. It's going to be embarrassing. It was already embarrassing enough. And when it was funny. Everybody was going down, whether they were going to go to the bathroom, get something to eat, or leaving. And I've seen people walking downstairs. Chris Moore takes the kickoff, comes all the way back, and everybody just stops, freezing, right in their tracks. And then, of course, everybody's like, high-five me, and you see like half of them go right back to their seats. I'm like, yeah, you were the leavers. I know who you are. So I was watching everybody. So I'm like, it was just funny. Then luckily, we capitalized on that, scored, kept us in the game. So I'm like sitting there, it was cold. I mean, it's already on record as the coldest game in Baltimore's football history, which is nuts, man. I've been into some cold ones, and you know that about tied New England's cold, because New England's playoff game 3 years ago was nuts cold. But it was like 8 degrees at kickoff. This one got down there by the time the game was over. But end all be all, I was getting all warm, getting into the game. Obviously, I was hoarse from screaming and getting into it. But dude, when that play happy, because I was like, one place, 4th and 12, this is it, we stop them, we're in the playoffs, we're gonna celebrate, it's New Year's Eve, he catches that and goes into a touchdown. I just stood there, I like stood frozen, and of course everybody's acting a fool around me, and I looked at my friend, and you know how the stadium is, so right in front of where my seat is, I just plopped on the concrete. Like, just plopped, and I'm like sitting there, I have my shoulders against the seat, and I'm just chilling, and I'm like looking around. And I looked up the guy next to me. I go, please tell me I'm dreaming. I'm like, please tell me. He goes, no. And I look at the scoreboard. I looked at my friend. I looked at him. And I'm like, it was like surreal. Like, no. I said, wake me up. Like, I did not want to believe that happened. I'm like, we were just like yelling on their feet, hitting the chairs with our hands, stomping our feet, yelling at the top of our lungs, one play, playoffs. Ah! And then the whole place just got pin drop quiet. Like you could hear. Well, and somebody said this, speaking of that, because I knew the crowd was going to be thin already, given all the shenanigans throughout the year and all that. But given that they changed the time, I think I knew like 8 people who already couldn't go to the game and trying to get their tickets to somebody because of the time change. They were like, well, we can make 1 o'clock, but 4:30 is just kind of tough. And then with it being so cold and all that, it just was, to me, I felt embarrassed, you know, because it's like, dude, you know, the Ravens put out an article like, choose us over New Year's Eve plans. I just feel like the Ravens are reaching, and in the NFL as a whole, it's not just us hurting, but I feel like it's embarrassing, man. You know, and we talked at lunch a couple of coworkers of mine who have season tickets and PSLs, and we're like, dude, there wasn't a time to where it felt good to own season tickets, and people were like, dude, I'll pay you $250 to go to the game. Like, it didn't care. Now it's like tickets were on sale for like $5, $15. They were given away for free, and it's just like, you know, it's like, you know, your time's coming. So, because we'll remember you guys, and then when the team gets good again, you want to go to game, we'll charge you $500 to go to a football game, because I remember that. I'm keeping score here. So
yeah, the time change by the NFL was an absolutely terrible call.
Right. It was.
I understand, like I said last week, I understand why they did it from a league perspective, when we don't want any of the teams that are supposed to play at 1 to get a leg up on the teams playing at 4:30. We want an even playing field. Okay. I get that. That makes sense. However, why are you doing 4:30 when it's New Year's Eve? And yeah, you already know as a league that you have ticked off a very big group of fans already within this season. There's multiple reasons which we won't get into right now. There's plenty of Raven stuff to talk about. We don't have to talk about league-wise why this is happening. But empty seats at stadiums is a problem, and there's multiple reasons for that. And so you've already got a fan base that you're already losing. And now you're saying, pick us over the plans to be with your family. And people aren't going to do that.
No, they're not. Especially, and I get why. You know, I'm not saying I'm calling people out and keeping tally. I'm talking about those people who I've seen, you know, waning off in the early months and then came back, you know, and I've seen them all on social media. It's, you know, they were all part of the, you know, when to get in crowd. I'm like, dude, you know, stop posing. But, you know, I get it. There's a lot of people I know that were still out of town. You know, they were hosting parties. You know, I was invited to a few of them, and I'm like, obviously, I'm going to the game, you know, and if it was a away game, I probably I'd be out watching it, so I wouldn't be over somebody. I'd be into the game. You know, it's essentially a playoff game. You know, I can't be, you know me, I just can't be around that kind of environment and can't enjoy myself because I'll be too engrossed in it. But, you know, it's just a sad tale that this league has become. And I was watching an incredible college playoff game. By the way, if you haven't heard or seen it, dude, incredible, man. Georgia and Oklahoma battled into double overtime, and you know, obviously Bama won their game, and it's an all-SEC final for the championship next weekend is Georgia and Alabama. But I bring that up because I was watching the game, and I looked at my dad, I go, this is just a cleaner game. And we talked about it amongst our coworkers. We had that water cooler talk, obviously, on our breaks. And we're like talking about the NFL games and the college games. And I feel like the NFL has gotten it wrong. You know, I just feel like the college game, they let the players decide. Like, I feel like a couple of the defensive plays that happened in those games last night, if they were in the NFL, they would have been either holding or interference. Not to say there wasn't a penalty or there wasn't this play, but a couple of them, it was like the defender, you know, made a great play on the ball, but I feel like I saw some plays this weekend in the NFL that there was a play made on the ball and they called it for interference. I'm like, the defender can play the ball like a receiver can too, you know, just because in the receiver, they're trying to like give, you know, the receiver the edge and they're going to throw a flag every time. It's just sickening. And I feel like the game in college is a lot smoother. I don't know if you noticed that, but I feel like the NFL has got a really big problem, not only attendance, fan base, but just the product. And I feel like they got to clean it up quickly.
They do.
But it's just a sad tale.
Yeah, exactly. The NFL doesn't know what a catch is anymore.
That's sad. If your main bread and butter is catching the football or running the football, and you don't even know what catching is, I mean, you can go out in front of my house right here, go in a little field and go, hey, Brandon, I'm going to act like Joe Flacco. I'm going to throw you the ball, catch it. And then when you catch it, that's a catch. You know, this whole going to ground, completing it. Someone said, let's get back to old school football way back in the old day where the ground can cause a fumble. It's called if you catch the ball and you're running and you fumble it and you go to the ground and the ball pops out, that's a fumble. It's called, if you hold on to it the whole process, that's a catch. But this whole ground causing this, causing that, I feel like the ground should be able to cause a play. Not to say, I feel the ground should cause a fumble because the ground's part of the field, but that's just my interpretation of it. Yeah, it can cause an incomplete pass, but there's too many interpretations of it, and I feel like you're right. If you have 50 rules on what a catch is, I would be frustrated as an NFL player, bro. I don't know about you, but It would be very hard to do my job.
It would. So let's get back to this talking about this game, because I think you and I should do a league wrap up maybe in like a week or two, maybe closer to the Super Bowl, and we can go more in depth about, you know, some of the problems they're facing. Because I mean, there are a lot of empty seats around the league. We can discuss, you know, why that is and how they can fix the game and that kind of stuff. But that needs its own episode. So I brought up Michael Campanaro. Did you see how he got taken out while you were in the stadium?
Well, I seen a couple plays to where I think it was on one of, and I want to talk about him too after this situation because there's something I want to bring up to light and ask your opinion on. But there's a play where he went to the sideline for a return and they threw a penalty. I think he got like pushed into the bench. Is that the play you're talking about, or was it something different?
It was closer. No, I think he was the one that returned it when there was like 40 seconds left on the clock. And at the end of the game.
It was such a blur. I don't even remember. After that touchdown, I feel like life went by like crazy. So
yeah.
You had to throw me in because I just remember Joe Flacco get sacked and that was it.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything other than that.
So he returned the ball and he's still running on the sidelines, and he runs really like far back past the past where the players sit, and on the ground is that concussion protocol tent, you know, that tarp, and it's got like it's put together with like PVC pipe, and they're holding the tarp down with sandbags. And he doesn't see any of this. So he's running. He's trying to slow down. He puts his foot on one of these sandbags. And without even seeing a review, without seeing an instant replay or anything, my mom goes, oh, he just broke his ankle. Because he planted his foot on this sandbag, which if you're expecting regular ground, you're not going to expect the sand to right. move and that kind of stuff. His ankle rolls over and he goes flying like a nosedive into the ground. And my mom's like, he just broke his ankle. Like, there's no doubt in my mind he broke his ankle. And then they go on to the next play and they show him being helped off the field by two players. So even if they were making it to the playoffs, he definitely wouldn't have been playing Campanero. So, like, that's something I saw on TV that you probably didn't see in the stadium. But
and the Ravens never released anything in See, you get breaking news that you would not hear anything else right here on the call. Thank you, Brandon. I did not even see that, obviously, being what happened a few plays earlier. I'm already still on the concrete floor of the stadium wondering what happened. So I wouldn't have known if the players got hurt on the sideline. So, but that's great insight. Did not know that, and wow, oh wow. I'm surprised nothing came out for the Ravens unless I just missed it.
All right, let me just point this out to you. So 2 hours ago, this was tweeted at 6 o'clock, January 2nd, so a little spoiler for when we're recording this. The Ravens have spoken to former Indianapolis Colts head coach Chuck Pagano, trying to lure him back to Baltimore to be the defensive coordinator.
There you go.
Perfect. Ravens have other options, but he appears to be the focus at this point. What do you think about Chuck Pagano coming back to Baltimore?
I love it, man. He had great rapport. I know it was back in the Ray Lewis Henry days, but he had great rapport. I loved his demeanor. We already know what he went through with the Chuck Strong situation. He holds here a great place here in Baltimore. I know a lot of media members who are close to him and what he went through there. Can appreciate him trying to come back here, or the Ravens trying to lure him back there. Hopefully he takes the bait, and I've already heard Suggs wants to come back. He's stronger than ever. Suggs just had a Pro Bowl year. You're going to have Jefferson back. You're going to have Weddle back. So I feel like the nucleus of the defense should be intact. You got Mosley. Jimmy Smith will come back healthy next year. And you got Marlon Humphrey going in his second year. So I feel like, Chuck has a lot here to work with, and I feel like he would be a good fit. We needed defensive coordinator, at this point, especially with the defensive coverages and what I heard about that. Thank you, DPs, but no thank you. Happy retirement, but, man, I'm happy that train wreck's over, and we just need, a good regime. Now, a lot of people could be against this because they're like, okay, well, it's an old name here. It's going to be the same broken record. It's like saying letting go John Harbaugh a few years, he goes somewhere else and then hiring back. It's like, it's the same voice, it's the same scheme, same situation. But, I feel like if we need anything, if I had my picks right now, Brandon, I would tell you I would love Kubiak as the offensive coordinator and Pagano as the defensive coordinator, and that would be my picks. Keep John as the head coach. That would be my my two cents in the coaching staff on how I would like to see the team move forward, whether it happens, whether it's just Chuck and it's not. But I feel like we already know. I just have that gut feeling that Marty's still going to be here next year, and I just don't know why, but it remains to be seen. I can't foresee the future, but I like the Chuck signing if it can happen.
Yeah, and another little piece of news breaking as we're recording. Ray Lewis has been named a 2018 Hall of Fame finalist.
Yes, sir. I'm already going to start getting my trip.
No shock there, but
now, yeah, he's in. I mean, he's going to go in August, and I've already looked at my packages. I'm definitely going to go. That'll probably be my one and only road trip if I don't go on any road trips next year, see what the year brings. But that is awesome. We already knew Ray's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer, and that speech is going to be somewhat epic. As we sure know. And I can't wait to just see Ray Lewis immortalized in Hall of Fame glory and him tell a story over and over again. And we're going to hear a great version of it. I can't wait to be there. And I'm going to get my packages here hopefully this week and all settled. And thank you for breaking that news. But we all knew in our hearts he was going to be finalist, right?
Yeah. Come on.
I also want to ask you something if you didn't see it. Did you – because I posted a lot of material and videos, but did you hear – I try to stay away because I was really – be honest with you, Brandon, how mad I was, and I don't want to hear the excuses. I didn't hear Harbaugh's presser. I did not hear Flacco's presser because I felt like it was going to be the same broken record. But I did hear Tony Jefferson's, and it got me choked up a little bit because Tony actually started almost crying. you can hear the emotion in Tony's voice. He was starting to cry and get choked up, saying, you know, how, you know, frustrated he was, and this, you know, he wanted to come here. He loves it here, and, you know, he loves the guys he plays with, and he said, you know, we're going to go back and fix it next year, and he's just disappointed, and he actually had tears. And I want to ask you about that if you've seen it. Did you see that?
I did not get to see it, no.
Go back and watch. I think it's like 2 or 3 minutes long, not long at all, but you can hear the raw emotion in his voice, and you can see it with his eyes do well up. He gets into it. So you have to appreciate that. Yeah, there might be players that you feel like don't care out there, but there's players on this team that do care. And you might not say, well, the Ravens didn't care. They showed no fire. Well, you know, some players did. And Judon was one of them. Tony was one of them. I know Suggs was out there getting it. But another one that I'm very intrigued about is, I don't know, again, you know, like you said, you shared about the Campanera story that I didn't see. Well, I could have seen it at the game. I just wasn't paying attention. But did you see – because Mike Wallace obviously balled out in the second half. He had that touchdown to get us ahead. It was great. But did you see did they show him on TV at all on the scoreboard after he scored that touchdown?
No, nothing.
Okay, because the reason why I bring that up is because it happened before, I think, and it was that situation that with that Perryman situation where it was, I think he caught, you know, a good few amount of balls like after that, and then they showed him on the scoreboard, and he was kind of like, I think it was like he hit a career milestone or something, and they showed him on the scoreboard, and he was just like, look, man, and pissed off. And then he did again, like, but he was saying, you know, let's have him go. That's what he was mouthing on the screen, like, because he was trying to get everybody into it. Like, he scored the game, go in and head touchdown at that point. He was like, let's go. But I'm intrigued to what he said. He actually said he knows the NFL is a business, but he would love to come back next year. He is a free agent. But then he said the Ravens restored his love for football, and he said he was in a dark place before that. So I like, you know, I don't know if he's going to ever share more to that story. I would like to know what that is, or, you know, if he can share that story. I would love Mike Wallace to open up about it if he can. But that's awesome to hear that. You know, Mike Wallace on this team would be great next year, because I feel like he's that veteran leader. He's the playmaker that still need. We need others, but I feel like Mike Wallace was the only one out there balling out in the wide receiver core. Chris Moore was. You know, you got to catch a few slick balls, but Chris Moore is a playmaker, and I feel like he should be back. That's just my 2 cents heading in the offseason.
Is there anybody else you can think of that you think will be back next year? Is there anyone you think maybe will not be in purple next year?
Right off the bat, I feel like, you know, Perryman, I think Macklin's still in the contract, so we have to put up with that. But I feel like, you know, Perryman, if the team keeps him, I'm going to shake my head really, really hard. I'm going to be like, really? You got to be kidding me. You got to get Perryman off the team. I feel like the tight ends, it might be Ben Watson who leaves. I feel like the tight ends are going to be moved around and switched up. I feel like Brian Jensen will be back. I know Yondo will be back healthier, you know, coming off his injury. I feel like the line's going to be the biggest mystery, because they got a lot of shuffling there, a lot of movement. I have to look at the contract situation of Austin Howard. We have to look into that a little bit. But I like Ryan Jensen still on this team. He plays with a fire, and I love it. And I just feel like that he needs to stay intact on the line. So, but it's going to be mainly on the offensive side of the ball. I think the defense, you might see a few players here or there, but I really hope they can do something with Maurice Kennedy. I think he's a playmaker. Matt Judon, I feel like, is next to come. I hope these guys don't leave for free agency. But we're going to cover that in the next few weeks as we, you know, approach free agency in March, obviously through the NFL playoffs. We'll cover that. But that's kind of who I, you know, want to put out there that we're going to see. You know, there's some free agents out there, but you know, we're going to see what happens and see what moves they make.
So as far as unrestricted free agents, some of the bigger names for the Ravens: Michael Campanero, Crockett Gilmore, Ryan Jensen, James Hurst, Ryan Mallett, Brent Urban, Mike Wallace, Ben Watson, Terrence West, I have to say, unfortunately, probably the last time we've seen him in the purple and black.
With the emergence of Alex Collins out of nowhere. Alex Collins is our back.
Yeah, Alex Collins, I think he's our number one guy. Buck Allen has looked great. Woodhead, if he can stay healthy, would be a solid running back. But that's a very big if with Danny Woodhead. It's the same thing with Jeremy Maclin. It's a big what if with their health. But those are some big names. Terrence West, I can say, though, I definitely don't see him back, because unfortunately – he got hurt at the wrong time. You know, it definitely is one of those things. There's nothing he could have done to prevent it. He got hurt. Alex Collins came out and really set the world on fire, and everyone got on his bandwagon, and Terrence West, he may be looking for another team down the road. I think he is a good running back. So, I mean, he could go somewhere else and really make a great impact. So we'll see what happens, but those are the unrestricted guys. Ryan Jensen, I think he's a good center. I've given him a hard time over the last season or two. I have not been the biggest fan of his, but I think I liked what I saw from him in that Miami game. He really stuck up for Joe when Joe got hit that hard and got, you know, his bell rung. Jensen was right there and was sticking up for Joe, and I like seeing that. So there's a good chance he's back. I think he's got a lot of fans in the front office, but we'll see. But man, this game, I can't believe this is it for the 2017 season for the Ravens. I don't know.
Absolutely, man. I feel like, you know, with where the team's heading, they're at that crossroads, if you would think. It's, you know, they missed the playoffs last 3 years in a row. We know, you know, they were within basically a play of doing it this year, a 10-6 record, but now they finished 9-7 once again. And I feel like you look at the way the season went. Now, obviously, they played a few backup quarterbacks. Obviously, they played Aaron Rodgers. It's probably no loss if they played Deshaun Watson against the home game against the Houston Texans. Probably not a loss. I feel like, you know, they did get a little bit of luck on their side to get where they were, but it just they fell a few plays short. And obviously, you got it back to the drawing board and go find your mistakes. And what makes any team great or any situation great is whether it's individual or team. I've always said this in my mantra. At the end of every day, what can I do differently and what can I do better? And you have to look at it. You know, Harbaugh's got to stop acting like a broken record. You know, ooh, you know, I love our guys and we need to go back and fix it. We need to work on it. All that's coach speak. Every coach says that. We need to work on it. Well, do it. You know, if we can't stop the pass and let big plays, we'll work on it. You know, if we're calling the wrong assignments, then tell your stupid offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators to call the right plays in the situations. Don't go, oh, well, you know, why are we going to two deep zone instead of man up? Man up on these guys. Because obviously zone kills it, and the Steelers do the same thing against the Patriots all the time. They'll play man, and once they go zone, Tom Brady picks them apart, and you wonder why they're so good. Good quarterbacks, and to do that, and Andy Dalton did it to us. He picked us apart, found a hole in defense, and it was Tyler Boyd standing there virtually on a touch and walk the whole way to the end zone. It was like the defense just stood around going like, whose guy was that? Whose guy was that? This team's at a crossroads, man, and they got to get it right or they're going to be so wrong in the end. It's going to be very, very bad. And wrapping everything up here, I'm going to ask you, man, before the playoffs start, I'm going to go on record to get your favorites here. But who are your favorites in the playoffs? Who you like to see in the Super Bowl? Who do you maybe have winning it all? And pick a dark horse team who you might think come out of nowhere.
I will get to that in just 1 second. My last little bit about the Ravens, I just want to say this before we talk about the Super Bowl. I think this loss especially is going to help this team get through the next season because I think just like we saw in Tennessee, these guys were looking past their opponent into the bye week then. They were looking into the postseason this past week. And I think this is really going to open their eyes to, holy crap, we need to focus on the game at hand. Because I think all these players, maybe the rookies especially, had this as they had written this game off and they were going straight to the postseason. All we got to do is beat this team that we've beaten before. They need to focus on the people at hand. The coaches need to do a better job at making sure the players are ready for the Sunday game that is in right in front of them, you know, and not two weeks ahead of time. So if the Ravens can do that, I think that they can be successful next year. Now let's talk about, you know, you want to talk about Super Bowl. Here's who I think is going to be in the Super Bowl. Okay, ready for this? The Pittsburgh Steelers versus the home team, Minnesota Vikings.
Wow. Well, it's going to be a good one. And that would be a first for the league to have a team on either conference playing a Super Bowl game in their own stadium. It's never happened. It's been close a few times, but never happened. And the Vikings have the best chance right now to do it. I mean, they're one of the great teams in the NFC right now, and I feel like it could really happen for them. And, you know, my pick for the Super Bowl is, you know, I'm going chalk here in the AFC. I mean, I know the Patriots, BC, beat the Steelers on a very, very controversial play, but that was in Pittsburgh, and the Patriots do have home field. So, you know, I'm going to go chalk here in the AFC and say it's going to be the stupid old good old New England Patriots back in the Super Bowl once again. I know we hate it, but until Tom Brady retires and stops being great and Belichick stops coaching them up, it's just going to happen. And, you know, and for the NFC, obviously, I love a lot of the NFC. I wish the trophy could be shared with a few of these teams, but I feel like any of these three teams, I feel like, you know, if it ain't the Saints, the Rams, or the Eagles, I feel like the Eagles, just because of this, you know, I'm in Eagles country and there's a buzz in my workplace. You know, they're the number one seed, their home field in Philly. But I feel for Carson Wentz because, and I'll have to share the story and share the story on the call Facebook page, but Carson Wentz is an awesome dude. I have not met him. And the reason why I say that is because there was a tragedy in my workplace with a family, and he opened up his heart. He's contacted that family. He had them on the sidelines, and you know, he spent time with somebody before they passed away due to a tragedy. And now you can order bracelets because of that, and we have some, you know, going around the workplace. And if you ever get a chance, Brandon, look up the – I think ESPN did it I think it was either 30 to 30 or one of those E60 stories. It was the Dutch Destroyer. Look it up. It was an awesome story. And that's why I feel like, you know, sucks that with Carson Wentz's injury, because I'm really rooting for the Eagles in that regard, because I love Carson Wentz, man. I love everything he represents. And it just sucks that he's not quarterbacking the team. But the Saints have something special with their running game. I've always loved Drew Brees and what they do down there. And they're not doing it in the air as usually they do. They're doing it in the running game. And, you know, the Rams, man. How about, you know, what Sean McVay's done? The youngest, I think he is the youngest coach in the league, if I'm not mistaken. He's my age, actually, 31, I believe. He's 31 or 33, and you know, he's, you know, the resurgence of Todd Gurley, who's in an MVP candidate discussion, and you know, if it's going to be him or Brady for an NFL MVP, yeah. But and three Antonio Brown in there with the receiving title, but you know, and the Rams, man, Jared Goff going a second year, and it sucks because I would like to see a Rams Eagles final if Carson was in there. He's seen the top two picks from 2 years ago for Pace. But I feel like now you're sticking with the Patriots and AFC. I'm actually going to pick. So I just don't think Philly's defense might hold up. I'm actually going to go Saints. It's going to be a Patriot Saints Super Bowl is where I'm going.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dark horse. I will say this. I've always been on record earlier in the show saying how fun would it be the Bills to win it all, or even go Super Bowl just despite the Ravens because of what happened. But I feel like if it's any team, I feel like Jacksonville could be it, because, you know, they trounced us, obviously. I mean, you know, yeah, we were pretenders looking on the outside in right now, but they did beat Pittsburgh. They made Ben turn it over five times. They've beaten quality opponents. They have the defense. And if they can take care of the ball and run Fournette, I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars can sneak up on people. And I feel like if it's any dark horse there, and then NFC stacked, I feel like there's really no dark horse in the NFC, because the fifth and sixth seeds, obviously, we already know. It's Carolina and Atlanta. Atlanta, you know, could return, but it could be maybe the sneaky Panthers, because they've been flying under the radar all year. But how about this? You know, we talked about it earlier. You know, I've been going back and forth on Twitter, but the NFC South has three teams of the six teams in NFC in the playoffs: Saints, Falcons, and Panthers. So that's a strong division. And keep an eye out on that, Brandon, because the Ravens do play that division this coming season.
Ooh, interesting.
So, and we do go to Atlanta, and that's going to be fun because that's a new stadium down there. So it could be a fun road trip in its own right. But you know, for that, man, what a crazy, crazy season. But you know, we're never doing the call. The off season is, and everybody knows me, it's just as much fun for me as the regular season, because this is where everything gets put together. You see the changes. We can see the hirings and firings, and we're going to cover all breaking news as it happens, as I can get it out there. Me and Brandon are on that, and it's just, we're going to cover, you know, I'll be covering the playoffs. I might put out, you know, a few, you know, messages out there or Facebook Live here and there covering the reactions of the wild card games, and I'd like to hear from you guys. You know, I know the Ravens aren't in it, but it's still playoff football. I'm still going to be watching. You know, it's still something to do. And then obviously for Super Bowl party, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, in Minnesota, and I was there. So it's going to be more fun to watch on TV, saying that it's probably for the first time in a while, probably for the first time ever, I actually am going to watch the Super Bowl that I was at that stadium that same season. So it's going to be fun to watch on TV. But it's going to be fun nonetheless, and see who is crowned the Super Bowl 52 champion. But Ravens aren't in the party. So fortunately, We gotta put away our purple and black gear for another season.
Yeah, and you know, that's why I want to see the Vikings in the Super Bowl. You were there. You showed me videos of their fan base. I want those guys to enjoy the Super Bowl with their team in their own stadium, because, man,
that would be incredible.
They looked like they would go insane. I mean, they already go insane on regular everyday Sundays. So have it Super Bowl Sunday with their home team in their home stadium. Man, that would be cool. So
and that's interesting too. In wrapping it up there, I wanted to touch on that point. I wonder how of a home field advantage would it provide. Like, would Vikings fans, obviously being that their team, you know, would, you know, host the Super Bowl and then play in it, you know, would they eat up a lot of of the tickets, and would you hear them on TV? Because you hear it, even though it is a neutral site, you know, when a fan base is there. I mean, I heard the Ravens fans in New Orleans were dominant. You can hear, being in a dome, you can hear them. And especially watching a lot of Super Bowl replays of Super Bowl 47, when the Ravens scored, you can hear the roar. So, I mean, there was a good amount. So I feel like if the Vikings end up making this a crazy ride and they go and they're playing in their home stadium, I really feel like it would be a vantage big time Minnesota Vikings to hoist that trophy.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. This is not the postseason I wanted, but still, there's going to be some great games, great things to watch. I mean,
it's not the postseason you wanted, but it's the one we deserve.
That's exactly what it is. That's what this team deserves. That's what
best served ice cold. Because, man,
yeah. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Red Eye review?
Man, I'm going to give a depressing and a very frustrated quote to Raven Nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. You can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. With this offseason coming, the shows are going to be a little bit more sporadic. They're going to be a little bit more I don't know what the word is. I mean, we're going to try some different things in the offseason. So shows are going to pop up when you are not expecting them. So make sure you you like us over on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Set it so you're notified whenever we post something new. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Support Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week, this season, this year. Not this year. Last year.
But,
yeah. But anyway, Josh, I don't know, man. Like, can you do your regular sign-off looking into a postseason Ravenless? I mean, we've done it before, but this one, I mean, this stings a little bit more. I'm gonna shut up now, and I'm going to let you end it whichever way you see fit.
I appreciate it, my friend. And, man, it's been a crazy season, and thanks for all who's sticking this one out with us. I know it's been a lot of fun football conversations, you know, meeting new friends along the way, man, and whoever's that came in over a tailgate and visited the stadium, and we're happy to have you guys, and new and old fans alike. I just love being a part of it all, and it's been a frustrating season, we know. And you know, a lot of people start hurting. It took me all morning long on Monday to get over it, but again, you know what I did? And, you know, you can call me sad, you can call me, you know, whatever, but, you know, I pulled up the old video after the 2011 season when, you know, Lee Evans didn't catch the half pass he caught technically, and Billy kind of went wide left into the night, and we just, you know, lost our chance there to go to Super Bowl, and we made it the year after, but just pulled up that Ray Lewis video, and that's where my demeanor changed. It's, you know, wins and losses are wins and losses, but there's more to, you know, life than a game, and, you know, life goes on. You know, we had a great holiday season, at least for me and my family, and, you know, it's, you know, life goes on after this. You know, I got something to be blessed, man. I purchased a house this year, got a great job, you know, things are looking up. So, you know, yeah, you can kick the bucket and and you can, you know, oh, I'm burning my jerseys and throwing away your Ravens stuff. I was frustrated too. The whole ride home, we were arguing amongst each other, like, what happened? And, you know, we get, you know, I was driving home and sit at red light. And my buddy's just like, one play. We had one play. I mean, we're all frustrated. I was moping all around on Monday morning. Didn't turn on ESPN, didn't turn off a network. Again, I told you, still to this day, until this time, I haven't watched the post-game press conferences. I'm just like, I don't want to hear it. I want to see changes. I don't want to hear what happened out there. We know what happened. You guys sucked. You didn't score enough points. You didn't make enough stops. Flacco had a pick six and wasn't his fault, but, you know, it was a juggle pass to a pick, and it is what it is. But you got to get over it. But, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is, we're resilient. You know, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, ride or die. And, you know, 2018 will come here soon enough, and we'll be back at it covering training camp and preseason and seeing where this team stacks up, whether they make the right hires, the right firings, make the right personnel moves. It remains to be seen. And we have a draft to cover. We have free agency. Let's see if we can make it right. But this one's still staying for a little. It took me a while to get over that Pittsburgh, you know, Antonio Brown stretching the ball over the goal line on Christmas night last year. And this one sucks. It, trust me. You know, I'm right there with you. I was in I'm still like, I answered it at work. They're like, what happened? Happened to your team? They razzed me all day. And I'm like, bro, it's the most frustrating thing I've ever heard, I've ever seen, you know, witnessed being a Ravens fan in person. It was like, you know, this one was up air when I was in New England and we blew two touchdown leads. We were up twice by 14 points and lost. When we were up 28-14 in New England that one time when Justin Forsett crossed that goal line 3 years ago, I really thought we were en route to a whole Super Bowl, another parade, and it just didn't close it out. And it's been the Ravens' problem. My dad was texting me during the game with what fingers I had left because my fingers were cold. Is my dad kept saying, we need to finish. We need to close it out. And right after the game, I was like, yeah. And then his text message was, we did not finish. Well, of course, you know, it's just been the mantra is how many times we just, it comes down to, you know, one stop, just get them off the field, three and out. And it's just frustrating. Trust me, I'm right there with you guys, but you got to hold it out, you know, and for the casual fan, obviously the Ravens, if they produce a bad product, they're only going to have for so long, and they're going to do better and bigger things with their time. But for the diehards were out there tailgating, man. We made a day of it. It was brisk. It was cold, but, you know, I had about 15 people at my tailgate that I spearheaded. It was fantastic. We had a blast, you know, making new friends and seeing old friends. You know, I want to give a shout out to my buddy Dave. I haven't seen him in a few years, and he came up with his dad. I remember the memories with his dad carrying me over his shoulder when we won the Super Bowl 47 title. You know, it's been awesome, you know, but, you know, we have to share in these up and down moments, but that means that better moments are on the horizon because, trust me, we didn't go 0-16 like the Browns, so it could be worse. It could be very, very worse, because I don't know about you, Brandon, if you're still on the line at all, but I don't know if we could cover an 0-16 squad. I'm sure those shows would be fantastic to listen to, but hey,
I kind of want to because I think it'd be friggin' hilarious.
Well, I almost want to like try to peep into the Cleveland radio, or at least try to find like some podcast in Browns and maybe archive them and go back to see. Like, I really want to see what that's like, because you think it's being bad, a Ravens fan, everybody's moping around. The Browns just went 0-16. Like, they lost to the Steelers' second stringers. Put it in perspective, we had one play against the Bengals' first stringers to go to the playoffs. So, yeah, it sucks. I'm not going to sit here saying just rely and be positive. I'm not trying to preach that, but I'm just saying, hey, you know, it could be worse. Our situation sucks, but there's other situations that are even worse. There was teams that were eliminated in week 6, week 7, week 8. We were in it to the last stinking minute on Sunday night. So it is what it is, but I'm happy the Ravens gave us that ride. And from a football standpoint, take the bias out of it. That was a crazy good football game. You know, it was close. It was tight. It was back and forth. And in the end, a crazy play was made, and we were on the losing end, on the rooting end, obviously. And it just sucks. But, you know, I hate feeling like that. I want to root our team in Super Bowl. No, we're not going to win it all every year. No. We're going to play us every year. No. But at least want to just get in there every once in a while, because, dude, 3 years is enough, and I'm getting sick of it, and it's got to be playoffs in 2018. Let's root them hard next year. Support them when they're down, because you got to support them when you know you support them when you're up. Got to support them when you're down to make it all count. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's just fly high into this offseason.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.